Living God, Heavenly Father, loving Lord, you call us to be persistent in our prayers. Lord, help us to do that. Would you please send the Holy Spirit to fill our minds right now so that we could understand what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. And then, Lord, help us to go from here full of joy and willing to live this teaching. Help us to persist. Amen. Well, this morning we continue this sermon series on prayer with a look at persistent prayer in Luke 18. And I don't know how persistent you are as a person, but as a Christian, we are called to be persistent in this area. So our passage today comes in the form of a parable. And the word parable in the original language means comparison, to compare things. And it's a word that comes up a lot in the Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it appears 48 times, and the word is used exclusively in connection with Jesus and his teaching and how he teaches. As he taught in parables, he used these short stories which illustrated his teachings. They're memorable, they're amazing, and they were drawn from everyday life. So they're drawn from things that people could understand. So if the Lord chose to reveal Jesus now, and if he was walking amongst us now, and not instead of 2,000 years ago, then he'd be using examples that we could relate to. He'd be talking about things like the internet and social media, because that's what we understand. We may not like it, but we understand it. It makes sense. He would have talked about traffic jams and things like that, and if you were trying to get home out of the downtown on Friday, you understand exactly what I mean as the highways were shut down. It's been estimated by scholars that about one-third of Jesus' teaching is in the form of parables. And the main point of a parable usually comes at the very end. So you go through it and you get to the very end. Now, before we get to the comparisons and the main point in the parable, let's notice right away that Luke gives it all away at the very beginning. He tells us exactly what the parable means right away. He says in chapter 18, verse 1, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." So that's great. It's great for dim-witted preachers like myself, because all of a sudden, I don't have to work too hard at it because I know exactly what the purpose is. It's to tell us to pray and not give up. But we still have to explore the parable. There's more here to be mined. There's spiritual meat. So let's get down to it. Let me break the passage into two sections. First of all, we have the comparisons, and then at the very end, after the parable, we have the question. First of all, the comparisons. In this parable, Jesus makes two comparisons. There is the comparison between the unjust judge and the just God, and then there's a comparison between the persistent widow and God's chosen people. So those are the two comparisons that he makes. Now, the unjust judge is a really unlikable character. It says twice here that he has no use for God. He could care less what people think of him, so he really only cares about himself. He doesn't care about protecting the law or upholding the law that he's supposed to. He only cares about the people who will pay to have their cases judged by him, and usually in a favorable way for them. And he's certainly not shy about taking a little extra cash on the side for a favorable judgment. So he's a guy who feathered his own nest. That's what he did. Now, according to the practice of the time, so we understand, a judge was a circuit judge, and he would travel to different areas, and he would go, and his servants would set up a tent, and as you came to have your case heard, you would, again, if you were someone who wasn't that influential, well, you might slip them a 20 or something, and you would go into the tent to have your case heard. Well, we know that this judge had no real love for the law because he completely ignored the widow, and even though she was vulnerable and powerless, she had nothing to give him or to offer him. She had no power, she had no money, so he ignored her. She had no advocate, and we know that even today, if someone doesn't have an advocate, it's very easy to ignore them because they have no power. They have no influence. Jesus then shows the contrast between this judge and the perfect Lord, and he calls the people to dip back into their memory banks into their Jewish memory and to remember the God who loves them, the God who's already done mighty things, the God who calls them to be prayerful and to be faithful. And this is a similar call to the call from last week's message from Peter's Pentecost sermon, where the call was to be persistent, patient, expectant, and devoted in prayer. So Jesus moves here from the unjust judge to the one who is the perfect judge. And he does it in verse number 7. He says, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" His point here is that with God, there's no corruption ever, ever. And he uses a comparison to show how pure and holy and active God is. And he says here that God will bring about justice for his people. He hears prayer and he acts quickly. Well, straight away, this brings up the question of why our prayers aren't answered quickly. And I'm sure you've noticed that in your own life. There's a problem or a crisis, you pray about it, you may pray a lot about it, and nothing seems to happen. God seems to be acting very slowly, too slowly. You might start to wonder, is he hearing me? Is he away on vacation? Is there something I'm doing that's getting in the way of what's going on? Well, at a time like that, it's really important to read this passage from Luke and to say, no, it says God does answer prayer, and he does act quickly, and then to take it alongside other passages in the New Testament that talk about prayer. Here's one, 1 John 5, beginning at verse 14, which says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." And then we may come across Romans 8, verse 28, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So with these passages next to Luke 18, we start to see that God does hear us. He hears us when we pray, and he acts. But it's also important to know that we need to be praying according to God's will. That's a very important thing. So if the prayer for the new Ferrari is a little slow in coming, well, I'm sorry, you're praying for the wrong thing. You really don't need the Ferrari. You really don't. You really don't. Yeah, you might have to settle for something less. Yeah, stick with a Toyota or the Volkswagen. But if your prayers are to do with justice and the salvation of others and healing for others, then that is in line with God's will. And the Bible says God hears and he acts. Now we know that God doesn't always act according to our timetable, does he? It's according to his time. American pastor Warren Wiersbe says about this passage, "Remember that God's delays are not the delays of inactivity. They're delays of preparation." Delays of preparation. God is always answering prayer. We may not see it now, but one day the answer will come. It will. Believe it by faith. So the one we cry out to in prayer is the one who doesn't keep us waiting like the unjust judge. He doesn't do that. That judge, well, he only hears cases for those who have the money or the influence. He can't ignore those ones because they're powerful and they have money. So we don't need to wear God out with our persistence. Now, we're called to persistent prayer, but we're not called to be persistent because God isn't hearing us. That's not the case at all. The parable teaches that disciples should never give up on prayer. Never give up on prayer. But it's for another reason. So let's move down to the other comparison. That's between the widow and God's chosen ones. Now, the widow's in a very vulnerable state. In the culture of the time, women had no power and no rights. And this woman needed a male member of her family to plead her case. But she had no husband, and we have no mention of a son or even a son-in-law or even a friendly male neighbor. There's no one. So she has to go on her own. But she goes thinking, oh, but there's the law, and there's a judge. But that doesn't work out because this judge doesn't care anything about the law, really, not for the those who are victims or powerless. So she had to rely on herself. And we have this image and try to imagine her prowling around the tent, yelling at him and calling out, making a nuisance of herself and a spectacle, saying, "Give me justice." Well, now compare her situation to the situation of God's chosen ones. Automatically, in the passage it says, we are God's chosen ones. And automatically, to call someone chosen is to say that they're not powerless. They're actually privileged, and they're blessed because God has chosen them. It doesn't say why they're chosen. It just says they're chosen. And that means that God's grace is at work here. God's grace is active in choosing a people for himself. Now, these words of Jesus would have caught the attention of his Jewish audience. They knew all about this. They knew that they'd been chosen and made into a nation, not because of their goodness and their brilliance, simply because God chose them. God saw the faith of Abraham, and out of Abraham, he raised up a nation. And through Abraham, he blesses all nations. So we're dealing with comparisons here. Now, I'm not sure any of us like being compared to other people. Now, we may like it if the comparison is favorable, but often comparisons lean towards competition. But a parable is a comparison, but it's a comparison for a specific teaching purpose. And in this parable, Jesus is going from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, look at this judge, and then look at God. Look at the widow and what she had to do, and now look at yourselves. There's the comparison. So all of it boils down really into a statement like this. If an evil judge is moved by persistence to give justice to a helpless widow, how much more will your heavenly Father answer your prayers? That's what he's saying. If an unjust judge will give justice to a widow, a helpless widow, how much more will your Father in heaven give you justice? So in the parable, Jesus moves us to the place where we compare in two different ways, but we really come to the same conclusion. God does answer our prayers for justice, and when we get to the end of verse 7, to the end of the parable, we should be feeling really good about everything. We should be standing really firm in that knowledge that God is just. He hears your prayers. He does, and he answers because you're one of his chosen people. When we go to court, we have an advocate. We have the best lawyer possible, and he pleads our case. He does more than that, actually. We learn later in the Gospels that our advocate actually takes the guilty verdict for us, goes to the cross, takes on the injustice of the world, is sentenced by the unjust judge, Pontius Pilate, all in order to save us. So this is the good news, and this is why we should give thanks to God and praise him. The realization is that we're saved by his grace through faith. And that should call a prayer response out of us. That's why we persistently pray. Not to convince God, but to simply respond and to say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive this blessing, but you've given it to me nonetheless. But we're not finished with the passage yet. Or I should say, Jesus isn't finished with us yet. After all the great words about justice coming and coming quickly, we come to the last part of verse number 8, and here's the question. So the comparisons are over. We know what he's trying to tell us about persistent prayer. Now comes a question. Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? After all this glory and blessing, will he find faithful people? Now, if you've never felt uncomfortable with anything Jesus says, then I want to suggest to you that either you've been asleep or you're in serious denial. His questions and his teachings are meant to move us. They comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And Luke 18 has one of these uncomfortable questions. Will Jesus find his chosen people praying persistently when he returns? The answer isn't an automatic yes, and it's not an automatic no. It's a question that's aimed directly at us in our prayer life. Will we persist? Will we persist in the face of injustice? Will we keep at it? Will we reorient our lives so that we make time each day for daily prayer? Will we copy the widow and be persistent? Well, praying like a persistent widow is really vital for us. Again, not because we have to convince God of anything, but because we live in very challenging times. We are faced with the juggernaut of secularism. There's a secular agenda at work in our country and our community. And the secular agenda either doesn't like the good news of Jesus, or it thinks it's irrelevant, or it thinks it's very misguided, maybe dangerous, and it wants to drive it away from the public square and to make it go underground and private so it won't be spoken of, it won't be used to influence any people, especially the young. So you are called to be a bit like this widow in the parable, but only in her persistence. Only in her persistence. She had to go fight for justice in a court of law. You don't have to do that. You've received God's blessing by His grace. Jesus went into the court of law on our behalf and took the punishment we deserved. That's been done. Now we pray persistently, not because God needs to be harassed. We pray persistently because this is how we express the centrality of our relationship with the living God. This is how we prove how important this relationship is to us. We're people saved by grace. We want to express that. We want to say, Lord, you've given this gift to me, and now I want to persistently pray for others, and I want to persistently work on this relationship, and I do it by entering into prayer. The Lord calls us to pray hard. He calls us to work hard as well, but this parable here is focused solely on prayer. This prayer is meant to fuel the good works we do in the name of Jesus. The parable here is focused on the one issue of justice. It's about justice. The widow needed justice. We need justice too. And we'll continue to need justice because we are being marginalized, and if you haven't been persecuted yet, you may be, because the culture is continuing to unravel. And it's unraveling in a way that's not friendly to biblical truth. There's a secular agenda, again, that wants to push Christianity to the side. The agenda wants to limit the right of Christians to express our faith openly in the public square. The secular agenda really wants us to go underground with our faith and to simply be quiet. Let me compare the secular agenda to the unjust judge. This unjust judge of the culture doesn't want to hear from the persistent widow, that's us, would prefer that she would go away and be quiet. After all, she has nothing to say, nothing that's worth hearing. She's annoying, so she should be ignored, maybe patted on the head and silenced. And maybe she'll get tired and go away. But the call here is for us to persist in prayer. So Jesus asks again, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find us about the business of prayer? Praying for God's kingdom to expand into new lives. Will we continue to pray? Will we continue to work hard and pray? We are very blessed to live in the country we do. Yes, there's a secular agenda wanting to push the church aside, but you know, we're not being thrown in prison, are we? We're free to gather here. They talk to the people in China, not so free. Talk to people in some countries in the Middle East, not so free. So we do have freedom, but we also recognize that we face challenges. The majority of Canadians say, yes, I believe in God, but there's a huge gap between believing in God and believing in Jesus Christ. We are, according to the parable, God's chosen ones who are called to persist in prayer as those who follow Jesus Christ, as those who have willingly put Him at the center of our lives, and we say, no, we're going to pray for justice, we're going to work for justice and the advancement of God's kingdom because that's what He wants. Go into all the world. Proclaim the good news. Make disciples. Reach out. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, bind up the brokenhearted and free the captives. So the Lord calls us here to respond with persistence. I had a meeting, just as I finish up here, let me share. I had a meeting with a new friend on Friday, and we got talking about Luke 18 and what I was going to say on Sunday. My friend listened as I put the parable into my own words, and then he said this. This is how he summed it up. He said, "Oh, the lesson is to put the pride aside. Put the pride aside and ask. Put the pride aside and ask." That's brilliant. This is what the widow did, right? She faced injustice. What did she do? She didn't go home and hide. She didn't get mad and call down the wrath of God upon the unjust. No, she persisted in prayer. She put herself aside and said, "Lord, I'm going to keep praying about this persistently. I know you answer. I know you hear me. And I'm going to keep on." Think of the unjust judge in your life right now. Maybe there's one looming, or in the life of someone you know. Think about that right now. And then I'd like you to start today to wear down that unjust judge. Wear him down with persistent prayer. If your prayer is in line with God's holy will, he'll answer quickly. So just in closing, let's come back to Jesus' question. In your prayer life, the question really is, will you keep at it? Even if you think that God is taking too much time, and even if you're facing what looks like an insurmountable problem, will you persist? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are times we know when we pray for a week or two and then we give up. Lord, would you please, again, send the Holy Spirit, bring Luke 18 into our hearts and minds, root it in there, Lord, so that when we're tempted to give up, we will persist, believing and trusting that you act, Lord. Your justice is swift. You hear the prayers of your chosen ones. So, Lord, in our prayer life today and for every day this week, help us to persist. Amen.